6 and verse 18. I'm just so thrilled to see all of you tonight. Just thank you so much for taking these midweek services seriously and coming out. You know, especially now, this is like the best summer we've had all year right now. It's not even summer, right? And you're coming out, you know, these last few beautiful days that we have, and here you are. Praise God. Ephesians 6 and verse 18. Father, we are honored to be here tonight. Lord, we're just grateful, Father, thankful for the word. Lord, we know that tonight we're bettered. Tonight the kingdom is bettered, and we walk out of here changed. And Father, speak through me tonight. Lord, you're the vine. I'm just a branch. Apart from you, I can do nothing. So I'm asking that my words be that of the Holy Ghost. Father, if there's rabbit trails you want me to take, if there's different places you want me to go, if there's ministry time, Father, whatever, I'll yield to whatever you have for us, Father. We're open to the move of the Holy Ghost. So, Father, thank you for the word tonight. Thank you that we go from glory to glory, a new level of glory here tonight, Father. And we give you the praise for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Ephesians 6 and verse 18. Of course, this has been a prayer series this fall semester. And we're going to stop sometime in November. I'd love to just keep on going, but I got to follow what's good in the Holy Ghost. And so we'll stop sometime in November. I don't have an exact time yet. But Ephesians 6:18 says, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. And last week, I'm not going to spend a whole lot of time reviewing because we just got to get going here. But supplication, we looked at that because we're looking at the different ways to pray. There's John Wesley said this, unless somebody prays, God can't do anything on the earth. And we see that, you know, and so we got to find out, what are the rules of prayer? What are the regulations of prayer? You know, I can hunt in a bunch of different states and it be the same kind of hunting. You go sit in a tree stand and do the same type of thing, but it's governed by different laws. And if I do one thing in one state, I might get in trouble because it's not the law of that state. And same with prayer. Yes, it's prayer. Yes, it's talking to God. Yes, it's fellowship with Him. But there's different prayers for different things. And we saw supplication. We saw that supplication was a heartfelt, fervent, or earnest request. And we looked at some of those things last week and how to pray for ourselves, how to pray for family members, how to pray for the kingdom of God. You know, we saw in Zechariah 10:1 that the Lord said, ask me for the rain in the time of the latter rain. And the Bible says that the Lord is waiting for the precious fruit of the earth. That's the only thing that's holding Him back from coming. And if God will pour out His Spirit upon all flesh, you'll see the harvest start to come in. And so it's our job as Christians to be praying for that. Well, that's a supplication, an earnest, heartfelt request of, Lord, send the rain. Rain down Your Spirit upon all flesh. We saw that when Matthew 9, where He asked laborers to go out. That's a supplication or a request, an earnest, heartfelt request. Lord, send laborers into this harvest that needs to be picked. You know, there's lots of people on their way to hell, unfortunately. You know, it's getting into grape harvest season, and you know, there's vineyards that have just thousands and thousands of rows of grapes, and you know, thankfully there's high-tech machines now that can get the majority of that harvest. But you know, there's lots of grapes to be picked, but if there's no laborers to pick them, they're gonna go bad, and they're not gonna fulfill what their destiny was. It's the same with people. And just because there's a great harvest doesn't mean that it will get picked. We need to pray for laborers. And then we saw asking God for spiritual gifts in our services, crying out to Him, Lord, we need the move of the Spirit. And there was other things pertaining to your life in the Ephesian prayers. Go back and listen. I know Reverend Scott was working on trying to get those up on live stream. But tonight we're going to continue along the lines of supplication. I had thought maybe we'd go into intercession, but there's something that we need to share with you tonight that's very important and vital for the kingdom of God, which will translate not only in the kingdom of God as a whole in the body of Christ on national and world level, but for your own life and for the own body that you're associated with. And if you've heard this before, good. I'm glad you have. Faith comes by hearing, but if you're not doing this every day, it's a good indicator to you why pastor preaches stuff over and over again. And if you are doing this every day, well, kudos to you. You're going to find out and have your faith more strengthened tonight of why you're doing those things. And it's vital. It's absolutely vital. The Lord, I wanted to go in the area of intercession, and I just had this check in my spirit, that icky feeling of back up a little bit. And so we're going to back up a little bit. But I want to start tonight in 1 Corinthians 12, verse 12. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 12. Boy, your pastor was quite a doozy before he got saved. I was thinking of those times when I tried to outlast my sister, and she made me so mad one time. I threw the remote at her as hard as I could. She just ducked, and that thing hit the wall and shattered. I mean, if it would have hit her, oh, my goodness. She loved Oreo cookies. And when she was little, I mean, she loved them. And so I'd throw one in the bottom of a sleeping bag, and she'd crawl in, and I'd close off the end. And she's claustrophobic and devious little guy, I guess. Praise the Lord. But thank God for Jesus. Sorry, I don't know. That just came across my mind. Just gives you more, be more thankful for Jesus. Hallelujah. 1 Corinthians 12 and verse 12, it says, "For as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body being many are one body, so also is Christ." Of course, and it goes on to say, "For by one Spirit we are all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit." Now notice this, "For the body is not one member, but many." Well, think about the natural body. The body's not just one member. There's many different members of the natural body. And look what it says in verse 15. It says, "If the foot shall say, because I'm not the hand, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body?" Basically what's it saying is, if the foot got down on itself and said, "You know what, I'm not a hand, I really don't have any place in the body," well, we know that's not true. Now, the foot might not have the same role as the hand, but it's got an important role, doesn't it? And then it goes on to say in verse 16, "And if the ear shall say, because I'm not the eye, I'm not of the body, is it therefore not of the body?" Again, different role, important roles. "If the whole body were an eye, where would be the hearing?" Now, thank God, I mean, God could have had a real sense of humor and made the whole body an eye. That would have been something. If the whole body were hearing, where would be the smelling? "But now God has set the members, every one of them, in the body as it pleased him. And if they were all one member, where were the body? But now they are many members, yet one body," verse 21. "And the eye cannot say unto the hand, I don't have need of you. Nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you." And then go on to verse 26. It says, and other verses are good, but for time's sake, verse 26, it says, "And whether one member of the body suffer, then all the members suffer with it. Or one member be honored, all the members rejoice with it." What I'm trying to point out to you is that we are all members of the body of Christ. Christ being the head, we being the body. Now, whether you're a foot, whether you're a hand, whether you're an eye, whether you're a nostril, whether you're an ear, you know, that's what we find out in finding out our plan for God. What does God have for us? Well, in the body of Christ, I happen to be a pastor in the body of Christ. Now, here's what I want, what we're going to show you tonight, is you need to see that the Bible says that when one member of the body suffer, we all suffer, showing you that even one member of the body of Christ, how important that member is. And you're going to see tonight in the plan of God with supplication how vital you are to things being done in the body. Ephesians 4 and verse 15, and then I'll explain myself a little bit more here of where we're going. Ephesians 4 and verse 15. Tonight's service I'm so excited about because it will help this church. It will help my life. It will help us going forward. Do you know as your pastor flourishes and prospers and thrives, and as your church, you will as well? You will. You will. You'll go right with them. Praise God. Ephesians 4 and verse 15 says, "But speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him all things, which is the head." Again, Jesus is the head of the body, even Christ. "From whom the whole body," that's you, "fitly joined together and compacted." Now notice this. "By that which every," everybody say every. "Every joint supplieth." You know what that means? Every joint in the body of Christ has a supply to bring to the body of Christ. You know, a natural supply in your talents and what God blessed you with, your financial supply is natural, but also a spiritual supply to be brought to the body of Christ. And it says, "which every joint supplieth," now notice this, "according to the effectual working in the measure of every part," when every part's bringing their supply, the rest of this verse is possible, "maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love." So when everybody brings their supply, when the foot brings their supply, when the hand, when the fingers, when the ears, when the eyes, when the nose bring their supply, the body runs effectively and runs like a nice well-oiled machine. What I'm trying to say is that you have a very important role in the body of Christ. I remember this was when I first got saved, and I was the Nelbones in the Jamestown Church, Randy and Karini Nelbone. They were a big influence in me getting born again. And man, they kind of took me right into their house and blessed me. And Randy and I just goofed off a lot, you know, and we played this little soccer game in his house. And I remember we played this, it bounced off the wall, and I went, and the play was actually over, and we had this goal in the house we'd set up, and poor Karini, you know, we just were making so much chaos in her house. But playing this little stupid soccer game with this little stuffed dog toy, and the play was over, but I was being a wise guy, like I am a lot, and I went to kick it with my left foot, and I'm not left-footed, and so I don't have much coordination or control with my left foot when I'm trying to be precise and kicking a little ball. And I missed the ball by about that much and kicked my foot straight down into the ground. And I know I broke my toe. I didn't go to the hospital, but I know it was broke. It looked pretty nasty, and it hurt for a long time. But, you know, most of the time I don't notice my big toe. But when it was hurting, it was the only thing I noticed. It was important. And, you know, a lot of times I think people can feel like sitting in the seats that, who am I really? But see, me, who's out in front of things, who's visual and more of a public type figure, I understand the value and the need for you to be doing your supply and your role. You know, you think about the natural body. What's out in front? The face. The looks, the body's out in front. But you take away the heartbeat, which you can't see, and you don't have a body anymore. You take away the function of the kidneys, which are hidden, which maybe you go through days and days and never really even give any thought to anything. You know, we take so much care of our face and our body that we can see and looking in the mirror, and we could give no thought to those things which we don't see. But because we don't see them does not make them unimportant. In fact, you could say without those unseen, the seen wouldn't function. And so my job as a pastor is to lead the church and to be out in front. But it doesn't mean that you're not valuable. It doesn't mean that your role, because you take away your role and you take away the whole thing. I can't do this on my own. I can't run the overhead. I can't do nursery. I can't clean this place. I can't be doing the lawn. I can't be, you know, doing everything else that everybody else does and whatever your roles are. No, we need everybody doing everything. And I can't just pray by myself for the plan of God to go forward. You know, I can't, God can tell me to do something. I can empty out my bank account to get it done, but it's not going to get it done without the people's help. And so what I'm trying to say is just because you're there doesn't make you less important. In fact, I would almost say it makes you more important, because you're like the heartbeat. You're like the liver and all those good things that you can't see, but keep the body going. Because think about it. The majority of people are not pastors. Strength is in the majority. The majority of people are not not out preaching and having worldwide ministries and traveling. Those are few and far between. The majority, where the strength is, what keeps the function going, is the unseen, you guys. Praise the Lord. Now, if you're called to ministry, praise the Lord, be faithful to that. But the point is, be faithful where you're called. Do what you can where you're at. You see, I'm not going to get a greater crown, a greater pat on the back from Jesus. You know, let's say that Jeff is just called to usher his whole life, and he might be, and he's not called to ever preach or do anything like that, but he does that as faithful as can be, obeying God in every way. And I do the same as a pastor. I'm not going to get more congratulatory praise from Jesus. While you are a pastor, so therefore, you know, you get more praise than this usher was just as faithful. Or Jesus is going to say, you both were just as faithful doing what you were called to do. You brought your supply of the natural supply I gave you for finances. You brought your natural supply of the gifts and talents. And you also brought your supply of what the Bible says you can bring your supply, which is what we're going to look at tonight. Praise God. And we need you bringing your supply. You are so, so vital and so important. And Acts chapter 12. Praise God. We've looked at this before. We looked at this when we first started this series, but we're going to look at it again. I would say this. I don't mean to be dramatic when I say this, but I plead for people to heed this word tonight and to be a doer of this word. It will. Without it, we don't fulfill everything that God has for us. We won't do it. It's not a one-man show. And if you think that I think that, you're wrong. I know that it's not a one-man show. I mean, if anybody, I know that better than anybody else, because I know what I can do and what I can't do on my own. And so I plead and beg for people to heed this word. But Acts chapter 12 and verse 1 says, "Now about that time, Herod the king stretched forth his hands to vex certain of the church, So we know the Bible says we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, you know, the rulers of the darkness of this age, and basically the devil's cohorts. So we know that Herod was being motivated by the devil. You know, you have people messing with you. Well, it's probably the devil trying to motivate them and influence them a little bit. But notice, to vex certain of the church. The devil had a radar system, didn't he? To hone in on certain ones of the church. He didn't just go with an all-out campaign on the whole church. The Bible says he went for certain of the church. Well, who did he go for? Verse 2. He killed James, the brother of John, with a sword. Now we know from past times I've told you this, this was one of the three inner three that were with Jesus, right? Peter, James, and John. He was one of the 12, but then he was even on a higher level and one of the inner three that Jesus would take with him to pray and when different things would happen. And so we could say this, that the certain of the church that he went to vex were the leaders, were the ones at the forefront, were the ones on the front lines, were the ones that were out in front running the show or steering the ship. And so he killed James, and look, he succeeded with it. That's unbelievable, but it's true. It's believable because it happened, but it's unbelievable that it even happened. In verse 3, it says, because he sought to please the Jews, he proceeded further to take Peter, another leader of the church, another one of the inner three. He couldn't get Jesus anymore, so what did he do? He went right down the line, took out James, going for Peter. Next would have been John. Yeah, and said, proceeded to take Peter also. These were the days of the unleavened bread, and when he had apprehended him, he put him in prison and delivered him to 4 quadrillions of soldiers to keep him, intending after Easter to bring him forth to the people. Peter was therefore kept in prison, basically waiting a death sentence. He was on death row. Right. But something was different about Peter. But prayer was made without ceasing of Peter unto God for him. Do you think Peter's rear end was praying? Oh, yeah. Do you think James' rear end was praying? No, he's going to be killed. You better believe it was. But prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. And it goes on to say, and when Herod would have brought him forth, verse 6, the same night Peter was sleeping between two soldiers, bound with two chains, and the keepers before the door kept the prison. And behold, the angel of the Lord came upon him, and a light shined in the prison, and he smote Peter on the side and rose him up, saying, arise quickly. And his chains fell off from his hands. He was supernaturally delivered, wasn't he? The only difference between him and James wasn't them themselves. Now, could James have missed some things? Possibly, but I believe the Bible would have alluded to that. The only thing the Bible does allude to is that people weren't praying for James. That a leader needed the unseen parts, that the leader needed the behind the scenes, that the leader needed somebody that might never stand in front of people, somebody that might never get the credit and be told after service, good word today, James. You preached good, boy, you really fired me up, you really helped my family. Someone that might just come into church, say hello, never get a pat on the back and just walk away. Those people spared Peter's life. Yeah, Peter on his own could not do it. Could not do it. It was the prayers of those that were unseen. It was the prayers of the people. And if we think it's any different, listen, the devil's been doing the same things that he was doing back then that he's doing now. You know, we see two things from this. Number one, we see that the devil targets those in authority. He targets those in authority. You know, I don't say this to belittle you or to make you feel sorry for me. Listen, I have a grace on my life. I have victory in my life. But I will say this, because I wondered about this, and so I started talking with other ministers. And I said, it seems like what the people go through and tell me what they're going through, it seems like I'm going through it tenfold in my own personal life. And they say, oh, that's absolutely the truth, because the devil will target the top down, the spirit ones that are the ones that are leading the show. And I'm leading the ship here at this church. And I don't say that to say what you're going through, oh, get over it. You know, I don't mean it that way. I'm just saying there's a target. I understand. I know. Because the devil will target authority. Why? Go real quick to Mark 3 and verse 27. There's a spiritual law here. Mark 3 and verse 27. Remember, devil. Who's the devil going for? The top. Peter and James. Again, doesn't mean that they're more important. That's not what we're trying to say. Everybody has their role. Not everybody can lead. Right? Not, and just because if you're not a leader, so to speak, in a church and pastoring, following's not a bad thing. Everybody needs to learn to follow. I'm following Pastor Michael and his vision for this thing. I'm under those things. If I start getting into my own doctrine and different things, there's going to be trouble. Everybody need, being a follower is not a bad thing. And God might put you over a department in church to lead that department. Or you might just be a follower your whole life. Well, praise God for it. Be faithful. Because when you, because if you get out of that place and try to start making things happen on your own, that's where the danger comes. If you're called to serve in nursery and to show up, and you're going to see tonight, we're all called to pray, and you're called to serve in nursery and to just be an encouragement to your pastor and love on the people and love on the children of that church, and you're called to do that for the rest of your life, that's honorable. That is, I mean, that's God Almighty saying, I have a role for you in the body. Praise God. Hallelujah. And so don't ever belittle yourself. But look what it says in verse 27. No man can enter into a strong man's house and spoil his goods, except he first bind the strong man. Then he will spoil his house. Do you see that there? To go into a house, they're going to have to tie up the one that's in charge. They're going to have to, bind the one that's in control. I might not be naturally the strongest person in this church, but I better be spiritually. I better outpray all of you. I better be in the Word more than all of you. I better be seeking God. Now, you can give me a run for your money, but I'm going to make sure that I, you know, just kind of like in my home life. Never will my wife outdo me in the things of God. It's out of order. I'll never let her get to that place. So if I see her stepping it up even more, I better step it up even farther. Why? I'm the lead. I'm going to lead this church. So when I say I'm the strong man of the house, that's not me being arrogant. It better be that way. It better be that way. And so what's the devil going to do? Just like he did with Peter and James, target those in authority. What? Come in, bind the strong man. Come in and bind the strong man. Why? Because then you can scatter the house. Right? You think about it naturally. You come in, and let's say the dad of the home is the one in charge, the strong one, and you have a wife and kids. Well, if a robber comes in and binds up dad, it could be trouble for mom and the kids, right? Same way spiritually. And so I'm telling you that I have a target on me. I don't mind saying it. I'm not afraid to say it because I'm trying to get to people over to the point of take this stuff seriously when Pastor asks you to pray for him. I'm going to make it so stinking simple for you tonight. I made you a list to take home. I even put some things in bold print. Now, that's like doing a lot of extra stuff for me on the computer, like that I know how to make things bold. I know, that's ridiculous, but it's the truth. And this will maybe take you maybe 5 minutes, not even that. But what will happen is there'll be such increase in the body of Christ, in the body that you're associated with. So I made these for you. And again, Pastor, I heard you preach this. Well, let me ask you, are you doing this every day? If you're not, that shows you why I have to do this over and over and over again. Maybe it's the first time you've ever heard this and you're going to get direction. Maybe you can say, you know what, I've slacked on that. I started strong. For weeks I did this, but I'm pleading with you. I'm trying to show you how important it is. Prayer spared the man of God. Prayer spared the one with the target. So who cares that there's a target? If the devil can't hit the target, we're okay. But if the devil has an opening to hit the target, well, then we could be in trouble. Hallelujah. And I'll say this. This isn't me being prideful. Again, it's just the gift. If the devil takes me out, I'm the one called to this area. If he takes me out, this place will suffer. It will suffer. It just will. God has hooked those of you that are not visiting tonight from a different church. God has hooked you up with a certain pastor. Jesus didn't say the name of the church. He didn't say, I have compassion on the people because they don't go to a certain name of a church. He didn't say, I have compassion on the people because, they don't go to a certain kind of church. He said, I have compassion on the people because they don't have a pastor. Well, God's called you to a certain man or woman in this life. He has. He's divinely connected you with somebody. He's divinely connected me with somebody. And if my pastor's taken out, the family churches and the plan of God in this area, they suffer. They suffer. They just do. And so let's not let the plan of God suffer. My goodness. And I hope you don't take it. Boy, he sure is arrogant. No, I'm saying I can't do it without you. That without you, I'm worthless. The plan of God, it doesn't matter how much God speaks to me, how much revelation I have, how much vision I have. It will all fall flat on its face without your help. Yeah. So that if anything, I'm not trying to belittle myself either, but I'm just trying to tell you the way it is. The truth of the way things are. And so the devil targets those in authority. We see that number one in Acts chapter 12. But also we see this, that prayer will stop it. Prayer will stop it. Prayer will stop those attacks. Prayer will stop those devices that he has against us. So I'm going to show you four different things that you could pray for me. Showed you this before, praise God, but at least it's going to give you direction. And, last week we showed you different things you can pray for. Those that are in authority. People say, I wonder what to pray for. Well, the Bible tells you what to pray for. You can pray the Ephesian prayers for people. And, praying for the rain, praying for labors. And I put some of those things on that list. But let's look at 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse 1. And again, I am pleading that you'll please do this. That you'll please do this. 2 Thessalonians 3 in verse 1. Now, Thessalonians was written by the Apostle Paul. I mean, we don't need to give his resume, do we? We know he was probably in the greatest Christian in the sense of the most revelation. I mean, a lot of the New Testament, the Pauline epistles, the revelation of righteousness, the revelation of authority came through that man. And it says, finally, brethren, pray for us. Paul, one of the greatest men of God ever lived, is telling you, I need your prayers. He's telling us to the church at Thessalonica. He said, you got to pray for me. Can't do this on my own. Yeah, I'm a big shot in the body of Christ. Yeah, I got revelations. Yeah, Jesus tapped me on the shoulder and trained me. I didn't go to any schooling for it. Yeah, Paul was not taught the word of God by any man. He didn't go to any school. He wasn't taught by the other disciples. The Bible says no man taught Paul. Paul had visions and revelations from Jesus Christ himself. Jesus sat him down in visions and gave him the revelation of righteousness, the revelation of the authority of the believer. How awesome is that? Praise God. He didn't learn it from a human being. He learned it from Jesus himself. Yeah, I'm a big shot. Yeah, the Bible says I've been chosen to bury the name of Jesus before kings and Gentiles, for the greatest to the smallest. But it doesn't matter. Without the people, I'm nothing, is what he's saying. Yeah. God will put, see, God doesn't give, that's why these churches that have boards that vote on things, it's so unscriptural. God doesn't tell the vision to every person. He tells the vision to the leaders. And the leaders are to carry it out, praise God. Now, we do have checks and balances, and that's a smart thing, just getting into crazy things. But, the pastor can have, I feel so bad for some of these denominational pastors. God puts something on their heart to do, a building program or some kind of thing, and the church doesn't agree with it, and they vote, and they squelch the pastor, and the plan of God goes kaput. You see, don't take this the wrong way, but you're not qualified to make the decisions. You're not. God speaks it to certain people. It's like Jeff's gun shop. It'd be stupid if I walked in there and said, I don't like how you're doing this with your guns. I'm not qualified to do that. That's his. If I walk into your house and say, your kid's this, I'm not qualified. That you're in charge. You're in charge. Praise God. And now I will tell you how to raise your kids biblically. That is my job. That is my job to tell you how to do that. Now, if you don't, that's up to you, but it is my job to tell you, but not to lord over you and to nitpick or anything. But Paul said this. He said, I need you. Pray for me. And then he gives us specific things to pray for him. Well, I'll just tell you this. If these prayers were good enough for him, then you better believe they're good enough for Mike Anderson in South Dayton. Right? If Paul says these prayers are going to help me, I'll take them. I don't need anything greater than this. It's good enough for him. It's good enough for me. He says, pray for us that the word of the Lord would have free course and be glorified even as it is with you. There's a direction in your prayer life. Father, I pray that when Pastor Mike preaches the word, that it would have free course and be glorified. That was hard. No, it wasn't, was it? The word would have free course. See, we want the word to have free course. Not only in this area, and I'll tell you what, outside there, it's getting more politically correct and all these things, and the things of the Bible are almost looked as you're crazy for believing that certain things in the world are wrong, and you're crazy for believing that certain social issues and different things, like it almost makes you feel like you're the nutso one in the Bible for believing the Bible. And it's the Bible's the most right thing there is. It's the Word of the living God. That's His thoughts. That's how He wants things. And so with the Word doesn't have free course because it gets shut down by, political people and things outside there and people with agendas, it's going to squelch the plan of God. It's going to squelch the harvest. But even if the Word of God doesn't have free course on a Sunday morning or a Wednesday, if people come in with stiff hearts, people come in with a brick wall up, You know, there's been times I've preached, I felt like the message hit the back wall and smacked me right between the eyes. I'll tell you, that's tough, those services. I don't know if you've ever noticed it or sensed it, but I'll tell you, there's been times and it's like, I am trudging through quicksand up here. Why? The Word didn't have free course that night. Hearts maybe weren't softened to some things. Maybe distractions, whatever. We want the Word to have free course. What's that mean? Free course to go left, to go right, to go up, to go down, to get in all the little nooks and crannies in your life. Why? Because that'll benefit people. Not only will it benefit you, it'll benefit other people. So pray that the Word of the Lord would have free course and be glorified, be magnified. Hallelujah. That the Word will always have first place in this church. Over opinions, over revelations and visions and things, the Word number one. And so that's one thing you could pray for. Well, actually two there, Word be have free course and be glorified. But then also look at verse 2. And, he said, so it's not done yet. You see, I think Paul took notice when James was killed. Sure. And he wised up a little bit. And he said, and that we may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men, for all men have not the faith. You'd be surprised, maybe you wouldn't be surprised, at the people that go after me just because of what I do. Don't know me. I could be the sweetest person in the world to them. They don't know me. You know, I had something recently happen to me. I won't say the store. I'm not trying to badmouth a store or a certain location of a store. And in fact, I bought a phone from the same store, just different location. Didn't have anything to do with this store, but... I went to a store and I was doing some things and with getting a new cell phone. And I was there and it kept coming up how I was a pastor. And because on my phone it says Pastor Mike Anderson's iPhone or whatever, and the Apple ID, I don't really, my email or something was showing. And there were younger people around and just things like that. And so I was getting a new iPhone, and I had to leave my old one there and leave that one there for them to switch some things over, contacts and stuff. And I come back and pick up my phone, and I go home. And I type in ESPN.com. I go to type it up on the internet. And there's a bunch of different windows of porn sites that are pulled up on my brand new phone. And I saw them take it out of the box. Well, the new operating system for Apple, when you go to delete the history on it, it tells you exactly when somebody... has been on the internet. It gives you options. Delete this evening, delete yesterday, delete. And all it said was delete this evening. Well, my phone had been there from 3 o'clock till 7. So the next morning I went in and, you know, I just was very polite and said, you know, I'd like to talk to you in private. This was on my phone. And you know, I'm a pastor. I don't ever want, I mean, I could just delete that if I wanted to. But one, I think you need to know that people are doing this. But also, I just don't want this on my phone that I have. And it made me mad because I have pictures of my little girl on there and my little boy on there. And so if they're looking up that, what else are they doing on my phone? And so I said, I don't want this one. I want a different one. And you wouldn't believe the harassment that the general manager of the store gave me, accusing me of doing it, for which I'm thinking, first of all, if I did that, why would I bring that back and announce that to everybody? That's not something to be proud of. Now, let me say this too. If you're struggling in that area, there's help for you. There's help for it. Praise God. It's not like you're the most disgusting human being ever. No, there's help for you. Sin is sin. But it's not something to be proud of. It's not something that people should enjoy doing. And if you're doing it and you're a Christian, I'd guarantee you there's something in your heart telling you to knock that off. But just the harassment that he gave me and kept telling me, you sure nobody in your house? Are you sure this? Never one time apologized to me and kept bringing up the pastor thing. And I know it was, that somebody probably did that. In my spirit, I know this because they knew I was a pastor, wanted to give me a hard time, put that stuff on the pastor's phone and stuff. Well, see, we need to be delivered from unreasonable and wicked people. You need your pastor to be delivered because just because of who I am and the role that I stand in, target for these sinners. Target for people in the world just to give me a hard time. And Paul was saying, if Paul's asking people to pray, must be he can't deliver himself from unreasonable and wicked people. Now that was a minor thing. That didn't affect the outcome of my life and, you know, the health, but it sure affected James, didn't he? He wasn't delivered from an unreasonable and wicked person. Herod was unreasonable and he was wicked. You wouldn't believe when we go into business things and building projects, how unreasonable. I'll give you an example with our parking lot. Jeff knows this story. We had the neighbors just kept parking in the parking lot. Now, I pay for the plowing, the church does, pay for the plowing, pay for the upkeep. We're going to be putting a nice new parking lot in there come springtime. And we let the neighbors that live in the apartments park there for free. And I simply asked them, on Sunday mornings from 9 to 12, will you please not park in our parking lot. Please, I'm just, you can park there all the rest of the time. You don't have to pay for anything, no plowing. I mean, first of all, none of them have even ever asked me, can we park here? I mean, you'd think you'd do that, but they didn't, which I'm fine. I'll just be loving and, you know, try to win them to Jesus. But I said, ask, will you please, you know, this is our parking lot. We want it. And so the day I did that, boy, what a firestorm that rose. You talk about unreasonable and wicked people. There was a gentleman over there about three times the size of me, that's not hard to be, that did not like my rules. And I could tell. I could tell that he wasn't happy about it. And he was stewing and he was giving his girlfriend a hard time. I said, man, I got to try to go defuse this situation. I don't want him to take it out on her. And I just need to explain to him, listen, we're not taking your parking away from you. I'm just asking in church. I went over there and Jeff's my witness. That guy was about ready to pounce on me and pummel me. And I mean, threatening me, telling me to get the blankety blank out of here in my face. And I'm thinking, how unreasonable it is that 100 and some hours of the week I let you park here for free, but 3 hours on a Sunday morning, what is that? Unreasonable and wicked people. Unreasonable and wicked people. And just because the devil has targets on people, so he's going to use other human beings to stir up trouble. But if I can get you praying for that, I can just walk through life knowing I'm delivered. Why? Because I got a praying church on my hands. Praise God. So how does that look like? Father, I pray that you deliver Pastor Mike from unreasonable and wicked people. Done. Praise the Lord. That's the word. When you pray the word, the Bible says in 1 John 5, you have what you pray for. That's the will of God. The will of God is not me to be delivered into the hands of unreasonable and wicked people. It's to be delivered from them. Praise God. So when you pray that, that happens. Now go with me to Ephesians 6 and verse 18. Hallelujah. And if you have missed the boat on this and you started good and didn't, don't beat yourself up. Let's just pick it up right now. Praise the Lord, I'm still here. I haven't been beheaded. You know, haven't been thrown in prison. We got by with you. But let's not chance it, okay? I'd like to stick around for a little while. Ephesians 6 and verse 18 says, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. And then verse 19, Paul says it again. And for me. Paul said, I need you. I just told the church at Thessalonica, I need you now, I need you, church at Ephesus. And for me, that utterance may be given unto me. Amen. That's the first thing in here that Paul's telling them to pray for. Pray that I'd have utterance. What does that mean? See, you don't want me, you being faithful to do this will benefit yourself. You don't want me coming up here and just trying to figure out something to say on my own. You want utterance from heaven. You don't want to hear what I have to say or what message I think should be preached. You want to hear directly from God. Well, evidently, utterance will not be given to the man of God until people are praying for him. If it wasn't the case, Paul wouldn't have asked for it. Pray for utterance. Father, in the name of Jesus, give Pastor Mike utterance to speak forth the word. And then it goes on to pray for the fourth thing. So the first is that the word would be glorified. The word would have free course. That utterance would be given to the pastor, and also that Pastor Mike would open his mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel. Amen. A good pastor is not afraid to tell you the truth. Amen. Just like a good doctor is not afraid to tell people, hey, there's a problem here. Amen. A bad doctor would say, I just can't do it. I can't let them know. Let's tell them something else and just send them on their way, and then they continue to suffer from those symptoms and that problem. A good pastor will tell you. Do y'all remember last year when I sent out the tithing letter? Those of you that were here? For those of you that were here last summer, the church forgot about God. It did. The church forgot about God in the summertime. I'm talking church-wide. Don't just say, oh, it was just me. No, don't just turn the gun on yourself. It was church-wide. Our offerings dipped lower than they ever were within the first couple months when we started this thing. What? People were on vacation, people were busy, and people forgot to send their tithes and do things, and we just moved into a new building, so we had more outflow than we ever had, and we had the least amount of inflow. But I started to see it affect not only the church and what the plan of God was, again, because I can't, you say, well, Pastor Mike will get it all done. No, wrong idea. Can't do it. I told you from the beginning, God has expensive taste with me. What do I mean? The things He's called me to do have not been cheap. They've not been cheap. And you'd think in a church in a rural town, maybe he'd back it off a little bit, but he doesn't. He just keeps pushing things for me to step out even further. Why? What is he? When he does that, all it excites me because he's going to have to prosper you to do it. He's going to have to make you prosperous. The things that he keeps putting on my heart, he's going to have to keep making you prosperous, which is exciting for me. But he has expensive taste with me and the things that he wants us to do and the things that I've yet to mention and the things that are still on stirring around and on the radar that are to come. And last summer, church forgot and people were suffering personally. So much so that people came up to me and apologized to me and said, not because of the church having a problem, but I'll never do that again because of what it did to our family. 3 months, you know, go by, not even tithe, and that'll show up in your family. So I sent out a letter and said, this is what the word says, that you're hurting the plan of God, but also you're hurting your own life. See, a good pastor will do that. You know, the devil would work on my thoughts. Oh, you know, we didn't lose one person over that letter. Why? Because it was truth. I believe by now people know my heart, you know, and know it. But a good pastor will tell you, you want me to be bold. Yes, it might step on your toes. You might have to go home and soak them. Right? To go home and have someone rub them, put a little lotion on your little toes because they're hurting, but you want me to be bold with you. You want me to tell you what the word is because the devil's bold. He's not afraid to tell you the way it is. He's not afraid to come right in and rob and steal from you. And so times there's boldness that needs to go forth in preaching and individual meetings and things like that. You need to pray for that, the utterance and boldness. Hallelujah. So there's four things. Father, I pray that pastor when he preaches the word, he'd do it with, it'd be free course and it'd be glorified, that he'd be delivered from unreasonable, wicked people, that he'd open his mouth and you'd give him utterance, and also that he'd do it boldly. If you would pray those four prayers faithfully, you'd see changes. You'd see changes. Hallelujah. Well, in closing tonight, I'm going to give you a sheet, but I want to show you something that we're also going to do as a church that I put on the list. Genesis chapter 11. You might say, that's it. We're almost all done. But see, you don't understand. It's not that's it. Paul the apostle was asking people to pray those. It's not just that's it. But the funny thing is, and again, this isn't to beat up you. I don't know what you're doing and what you're not doing. It's so simple, yet it's going so undone. We're talking 5 minutes. You know, anytime you think about it, praying these prayers, bringing it before God. But Genesis chapter 11 and verse 1. Oh, if we could get all on the same page. Everybody praying. You know, I'm going to mention this in announcements on Sunday and make those sheets available to people that weren't even here. You know what? Embrace your role in the body of Christ.
That's right. Amen.
I just think it's so awesome to be able to be used by God Almighty. That we actually are going to make a difference for Him. That we're actually doing something that maybe is not completely self-serving. That we're actually doing something. I mean, I pray these prayers for my pastor. Just faithfully pray these. Why? I want those things to take place in his life so I can keep him around. Because his plan on his life affects me. And if he's doing well, I'm doing well. If I'm doing well, you're going to do well. It's just, think about a natural flock. If that shepherd's struggling and, you know, is having trouble and can't provide for himself, how's he going to get stuff to provide for the sheep? If he's hurting, how? Hurting people can't really provide much comfort because they're so hurting. So when the shepherd's doing well, the sheep do well. So you have a self-interest in this. Genesis chapter 11 and verse 1, it says, and the whole earth was of one language and one speech. And it came to pass as they journeyed from the east that they found a plain in the land of Shinar, and they dwelt there. And they said one to another, go to, let us make brick and burn them thoroughly. Excuse me. And they had brick for stone and slime they had for mortar. And they said, go to, let us build us a city and a tower whose top may reach unto heaven. And let us make a name lest we be scattered abroad upon the face of the whole earth. And the Lord came down to see the city and the tower which the children of the men builded. Now look at verse 6. And the Lord said, behold, the people is, or the people are one. One accord, right? And they have all, one language. And this they begin to do. Now look what he says. And now nothing will be restrained from them which they have imagined to do. Everybody got into one accord, into one speech, and the Lord says, I need to do something about this. This could be trouble in the future. This could be a problem, because he knew one accord saying the same thing, that there was power involved with that. That's why the devil will fight to bust up a marriage. Because why? One can put 1,000 to flight. Two can put 10,000 to flight. Jesus said in Matthew 18, he said, where two or three of you are gathered together in my name, he said, when two or three of you agree as touching anything on earth, they'll have it. In agreement, there's power. What did the Bible we read in the book of Acts when the moves of God would happen? And suddenly they were all in one accord, in one place, saying the same things. And power was made available for those things. If we can get everybody praying on the same page and saying the same things, we know Mark 11:23 says, therefore I say unto you, whatsoever things you shall say unto the mountain, right? Whosoever shall say, he'll have whatsoever things he says. So if we'll say things, praise God, we'll get on the same page. And you don't have to write these down. I'm going to give you a sheet after. But I'm just going to read them real quick before we dismiss about things that we can say as a church. And I put these verse references here. We'll be able to just move the mountains in the world if we'll all get on the same page and say it. The pastor's saying is not enough. The pastor's praying is not enough. But these are the five things that we're going to say that were on my heart to say for this church. Number one, again, you don't have to write these down. I have these here. If you want to, you can. But the plan and purpose of God will be accomplished in my church. If we all say that, the plan and purpose of God, wow. Whatever God has for us, we're going to get it. Number two, people are supernaturally drawn to and blessed at my church. And none of these are outside of the will of God. You know, we're not asking for something crazy. We're asking things according to the will of God, but we know that just because it's in the Word, it doesn't come to pass until it gets onto somebody's mouth. Confession brings what? Possession. The confession brings the possession. Number three, thousands of dollars above expenses comes into my church every month. Why? So the kingdom and the plan of God can go forward. You know, for that to happen, you're going to have to be the ones to have the thousands of dollars above expenses comes in. That means you are speaking your own prosperity in this verse, even though it's a direct benefit to the church. For our church has great favor with believers and unbelievers in the areas we are located. And number five, all the buildings and equipment that my church need comes in. And anything else that you can think of that you want to add to that list, speak it out. Praise God. But those were the main things that really kind of cover everything. I mean, if the plan and purpose, like we could just stop at number one, really. The plan and purpose of God being accomplished in our church would include the money, would include the buildings, would include the people. But I got a little bit more specific on there. Hallelujah. And I'm a preacher. And we always have to draw things out. Make things a little bit longer. Praise God. And so I encourage you to do this. We're talking about put this on your fridge. Put this somewhere where you'll see it. Put it on your mirror where you're going to brush your teeth. It will take you literally 5 minutes to move the earth. Praise God. And if we'll all do this and commit to doing this, my goodness, you'll start seeing changes. And the other thing I have on there, I have praying for your pastor, which is the things we just talked about, things we can say as a church, and then praying for the kingdom, which is that the Lord will pour out His Spirit, labors would be set forth, and that the gifts of the Spirit would be a manifestation. If we can crave these things and desire these things as a whole, we'll see changes, praise God, and it'll directly benefit your life. And so let's be doers of the Word, amen? Let's pray. Father, we love You tonight. Thank You for these precious, precious people. Father, You did say in the Word that You likened us to soldiers. Father, I thank You for this group of soldiers that are going to go out and just tear the devil's kingdom down. Father, You've instructed us certain things in the Word on purpose, that if we would follow those things, we'd reap the benefits of them. And Father, I hope that it came across tonight. But Lord, I pray, I would think that if they're called to be here, that they would already have a special place in their heart for Me. I know I do for my pastor. But Father, enlighten that, Lord. Illuminate that is what I want to say, Father, that they would say, you know what, we need to be praying this, that Pastor Mike can't do this on his own. He's aware of that. I'm aware of that. He needs Me. And Father, I need the people. Help them to realize that, Lord. Open their eyes to the fact of how much they're needed. Father, I wouldn't waste my time preaching this if it wasn't true. Father, that help them to know that I'm just pleading in the Spirit that they will be doers of this. And they'll make such headway in the kingdom of God and for the plan of God. And so, Father, we love You tonight. We praise You. We thank You for Your mercy. Just by chance, if there's anyone listening by live stream or in the future on an archive, and you have not received Jesus, it's simple. All you do is call on His name. It doesn't matter what your past has been like. It doesn't matter what you've done up to this point. If you believe Jesus died and you believe He rose again, the Bible says in Romans 10 and verse 13 that for all that call upon the name of the Lord will be saved. All you have to do is call on His name. Just simply say, Lord, I believe in You. I believe You died. I believe You rose again. Come into my heart. If you prayed that prayer, get a hold of us and we'll get you hooked up in this awesome, awesome plan that God has for your life. Father, we love You tonight. Let's just all praise Him as one. Thank Him. We thank You, Father. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. We love You, Master. We bless You, Father. We glorify you. We thank you for your mercy. We thank you for your goodness. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, before you leave, I'm gonna give Jeff. You come up here and grab these. You can go ahead and turn me off, Heather. I'm just gonna turn.